consider the cost, it would be...
Don't answer that. In the city of...
Violate it.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back once again to Noteworthy, a critical podcast. I would certainly like to say that it's your favorite musical podcast. I did that for some reason in the last episode. It should be. It will be. Hopefully, you know, I'm just talking out the butt here. Listen. This episode, we're going to be discussing the My Chemical Romance Sing music video, much akin to the discussion for the Na 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 video. I do have Val back with me, Valentina Lopez.
Hey, guys.
Was in the last episode, but I've also got somebody who Noteworthy listeners, well, it seems like the vast majority of you now know who this is, because... The situation was where I talked about, what post was it that we referenced? We referenced some post in this little tiny obscure blog that I'm sure everyone in the whole world knows about by now, which is Scenes from the Life of the Girl Automatic. And so we have the lovely author of that blog here to discuss with us. And I pretty much am indebted to you.
Well, pleasure's all mine. Hello, everybody from the South Region. Girl Automatic here.
Yes. So, literally what happened, for those of you that don't know, we talked about a post on there, and in turn, somebody got around to mentioning us there. And so then she linked the episode... And it just blew up. Came in contact with me on the MyChem site, and it just literally the download count shot into the hundreds within a month. So I mean that's a pretty good start for the fourth episode, I think.
Yeah, pretty much.
So yeah, it was really cool.
And so I thought it only appropriate to invite her on to discuss the follow-up, which, by the way, I'm going to open by saying that NME was completely right about this being the next single, as well as the next music video. Obviously, Only Hope for Me Is You was out as a song, but as an official single, NME called it. They also called Bulletproof Heart. So, like I said, we've got this video to discuss. Fun. Well, you see how subtle I am with these transitions?
So subtle.
Just very subtle.
Essentially, Sing, we, like with the Na 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 thing, we got a trailer. Like, it was shorter than Na Na Na. I think it had less footage than the Artist the Weapon.
It was really short. Yeah.
That could very well just be due to the fact that it was intentionally a trailer for a single or for a music video, whereas Artist the Weapon was
more of like a preview of the album and stuff.
Yeah, it was more like, here's what we're doing, and then everyone kind of just went nuts and they were like, oh, we're supposed to make a video with this? Okay, we'll run with it.
Yeah, precisely. So,
exactly.
So they treated it more like kind of a trailer. And yeah. There you go. You've all seen that, and hopefully you've all seen the video, because if you haven't, I don't know why you're listening to this. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, dude, go stop this right now and go watch the video.
Exactly. Go.
Oh, hey, welcome back. Good to see you've seen the video. All right, so let's talk about it. Just a quick run-through. You start, Killjoys come, save little girl who we know who she is, but not who she is within the... universe.
Within the Dangerverse, so, yes.
Yeah. They get the girl. Then
because in Na 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 she was taken by Course and the Draculites, so now she's being held. Like, I'm guessing it's a Scarecrow unit because that's what it says in the video.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Yeah, she's with this mysterious Asian woman. Yes.
Cece, and then they die. Each and every one of them die.
I was not expecting that.
That's what it looks like. I mean...
that's what we're led to believe, so I'm just going to That's like, well, it's like, you know, when the Star Wars The Force Unleashed just came out, and they were like, wink, wink, it's just a clone of Starkiller, but we all knew it wasn't really.
I should have timed how long it would take before a Star Wars reference dropped in.
It doesn't take very long, believe me. It came to mind. Incidentally, I still haven't played that game. So, the girl does get away. They didn't kill off the little girl. They're not that cruel.
That would be hard.
Yeah, she runs off with Dr. Death-defying and Ladyboy and some mysterious driver in a van.
Yeah, a blonde, some mysterious blonde girl.
Show Pony saves the day.
Yeah.
Well, I'm kind of sad that, like, Show Pony was wearing the helmet again. But then again, it's protection. You gotta keep that pretty face safe.
Yeah, that super effeminate face. Pretty.
No, he's really sweet, though. And his actor actually responded to me on Twitter for something. So that was really cool.
Oh, really?
That's really cool.
Oh, I'll explain
how this happened. What was the
exchange? He had mentioned something about it being cold in LA. And I, whenever someone mentions it's cold, I demand that they send it to Texas because winter takes forever to get here. And he was like, fine, I'll send it your way. And it was best night ever. Yes.
This is a fun little exchange. That's too cool.
So, yes, thank you, Ricky Rebel, for making my night.
Yes. I think we had... Did we learn that since the Na-Na-Na video?
That it was Ricky Rebel?
Oh. No, that it was Ricky Rebel.
Yeah, I think so, because he himself tweeted it about it.
Well, no, I mean, as opposed to knowing it before the music video was out.
No, I think we didn't know until after the music video.
Okay, so there you go, everyone. That's who it is. And now go look at him and be like, oh, yes, of course.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, all right. Just a few little discussion points, like, towards the beginning. I actually set out my notes so that they were linear this time, and I'm not going to rant about all the junk I want from this video. It's obviously there's a much darker setting than Na-Na-Na, you know, darker lighting, I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, it's nighttime.
Looks like there's a blue tone over everything.
Yeah. And I also noticed that the lighting, I always, because that was like the first movie that I really got into and noticed this sort of thing, I always say it's the Star Trek lighting, like the new Star Trek, how it's got that dramatic kind of, I don't know what the effect is called, but...
You know, it seemed almost like they had, like, a light, like, where the camera is, like, shining on them, like, you know, like, yeah, one single light, yeah.
And you know, that's a fun effect. My only issue that I take with that is that it may mess with the whole timeless factor that you're always trying to get, hopefully that artists are always trying to get, just because it is something that a lot of people tend to do, like late 2000s and now in the 2010s, possibly after, I don't know, because it's not then yet.
I think I remember in an interview, and you know in that magazine interview with the different parts they upload every day?
Yes.
Kudamon,
yes, that one. I think they said that when they recorded Sing, it was like complete in the dark except for one light that the drummer had, I think. And I don't know, it's kind of cool. It seems like they kind of took that into the video too.
Yeah, it was that the one that they did in the strobe light with?
Yeah, that they did a few songs with the strobe light, and I think that was the first one they did with the strobe light. Yeah. So that's, I mean, I just thought of this now, but I mean, maybe it has no relation, but it's kind of cool. You know, I think that maybe they're related somehow.
Yeah. And obviously this does start after Na-Na-Na, but this like starts immediately after. Like they got up, jumped in the car, and went to Battery City. The car is still smashed up. Like there's a little mirror hanging off the side of the car and is one of the first shots of the video.
Yeah.
So they don't waste any time.
And yet they have time to for the eye patch, I guess.
A
it's like, or something?
Well, we're not going to fix our mirror here. No safety for the Killjoys, yet we're going to run and get Rey an eye patch.
Oh, but I remember Rey getting shot or something in the eye, punched in the eye. He was punched or something, yeah.
No, it was, they hit him in the face with a bottle, a glass bottle.
Yeah, that's what it was. No. So, I guess that explains the eye patch.
Well, yeah, I'm fine with the eye patch being there, but I mean, the Killjoys themselves, it's like they're not going to fix their car, but, you know, they're going to run to, like, a
I don't know.
But see, I think the idea is, look, as long as the car is running in one piece, that's big deal. It's,
they just left it hanging there. They didn't even, like, clip it. I know it's for the cool factor and everything.
So you would have felt comfortable if they had just, like, pulled it off or maybe duct taped it or something?
Yeah, because it would look neater. I'm just picky like that. I don't know. Anyway, so they're going through the tunnel. There was an LA tunnel that they shot this in. They blast through a outpost. And then we get some shots of the little girl, Gracie, what's her face, that plays?
Grace Jeanette, yeah.
I think her name is Grace Clark, but she goes by Grace Jeanette, or at least that's what everyone calls her.
Yeah, that's what her YouTube channel says, Grace Jeanette. So.
Yeah.
Oh, and also they have, like, the blind messages, like, in between the shots.
Yeah, that was creepy.
I actually wrote them down. I mean, I wrote down the ones that I saw.
Yeah, I think someone posted them on the blog.
Someone posted them on the blog. Let me see.
Yeah, I've got Aftermath is Secondary, Keep Smiling, Everything is Perfect, Building a Better You, We Can Fix You, Love is a Pill. And then there was one that goes, like, on the side of the tunnel. It said, We Can Handle It From Here.
Yeah.
Those were all of them. And, yeah, those are all just...
And then there's another sign that says, oh, the fifth one... But the one that changes is Building a Better You, and then it changes to We Can Handle It From Here. And then there's another sign that says Keep Smiling, and it changes to Everything is Perfect.
Yeah.
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 Basically all the blind, slogans? Yeah. I mean, I guess it's just the point that this is an organization that's trying to make everybody perfect, and I guess... You know, like, they have the medication that erases your feelings and stuff, so.
Yeah, the website.
The website.
Practically in their mission statement that they have, they offer synthetic happiness, and.
Well, love is a pill, yeah.
Yeah, love is a pill, and they just. It's so very Brave New World. In a way, I love it.
Yeah.
In another way, it's very creepy.
Yeah. Very, I think some of the creepiest things about stuff like these is when you, like these sorts of videos and books and plots of whatever, is how plausible that really is. I mean, it's
well, if you think about it, I mean, the whole BL, Better Living Industries, is a really good metaphor for a society in a way, you know?
Yeah.
Like, many times people try to make you feel like you can take pills and you'll be fine, you'll be happy, synthetic happiness, you know, chemical happiness, you know? And, I mean, it's like the Killjoys are trying to, like, fight against that. They're trying to show you that, you know, all those things that you feel are, like, the way you make you who you are. And that's real, you know? It's not fake. It's not chemical. It's just really you, you know?
Yeah. So we get a couple of shots of the girl in the actual... blind, like, headquarters, which the first shot we see of it, it looks like just the top of it is, like, shrouded in fog. That's the scariest thing ever. I mean, really, it is, and it's cool that it's so dramatic, because it does fit with a lot of the how do I say this? I don't know. It fits nicely with the feel and what we've heard about the industry and about, you know, it's like, well, of course it would be shrouded in fog, you know. It's a cliche. Of course it'd be.
Yeah.
And then we see the little girl, and for some reason they gave her a ball to play with. I guess she...
Yeah, I actually wrote that down, too. It's like, you know, it's like contrasting with the Na 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 video. Like, in the Na 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 video, she's, like, blasting a bazooka and playing with those other types of toys. Like, she has this big... She has, like, this robot toy, too.
Which I noticed was in one of the pictures that we got. I think it might have been...
Yeah, it was. One of the prints, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to stop right here, everybody. Hopefully you've all seen the Danger Days video. I have. I loved every second of it, especially... that crazy guitar portion during Scarecrow, which totally
sent me off the trip. For those of you who aren't familiar, the Danger Days video is Dr. Death Defying's hilarious transmission.
of the entire...
I know, Dr. Disappointing is so rad.
Of nearly the entire record, yeah.
But, okay, what is it? At around 25 minutes and 12 seconds during Party Poison, obviously, when they're doing all the transmissions, Val's transmission was in there. But, it's... You said you got the blue kind of filter there, and it's actually cut really well. Is that, were the cuts in the video on your original transmission? I've only seen it like 60 times, but I'm getting at the moment.
I think
I mean, I think it is. I mean, I haven't seen it in a while. I just re-uploaded it to YouTube because I had uploaded it and sent it in, and then I actually took it down because. It was on a channel, whatever. I made like a specific channel for Neon Cinderella, which is my Killjoy. And I was so shocked when I saw a transmission in the video. It was
part of, you know, all these fans now are a part of the history of this album. And I just think that is, you know, ignoring Jared Leto's band with his, what song is it? 100 Suns or something like that. That's got like, applause from an audience at the end. That's not involving the fans, okay? So that doesn't count. And I say that because I did a show for 30 Seconds to Mars. It's not out yet. I don't know when it's going to be out, just because they need to cut it down to a very small size. But, I mean, it's having that kind of community involvement is a really amazing thing for a band to do. You know how many bands go out and just completely disregard the fan base?
It's, yeah, there's a lot of them.
And My Cam has never done that, and I just think that's really cool. Good on ya. So, and then we see, she was shown briefly in the trailer, just some Asian woman that I honestly still have no clue really who she is. She seems like some kind of figure at Blind or Better Living Industries with a lot of authority. She's on the website. Half the website is in Japanese, which makes, or it leads me to believe that
she's Japanese.
That Japanese might be like a prominent language in the universe. And the girl, the Killjoys have raised her right. I'm just saying. Because she's like sitting there. And at first I kind of mistook this because it's like a blink and you miss it clever sort of moment where she just kind of smirks up at the lady. And then the lady kind of smiles like, awesome. Eh, you're so annoying. And then looks away.
Yeah, and then, you know what, like, the Japanese lady, the leader, or so-called leader, she seems so controlled and collected and calm, like, but then you see her, like, wielding this katana, this sword.
Yeah, yeah. Which she never actually gets to use. Yeah.
I'm kind of sad about that. I kind of wanted to see some
Kill Bill stuff.
Yeah, it's like she just takes it out, and then what's not shown on screen is she just kind of looks at it, and it's like a fortune cookie, and it changes all the time. So I, after they rescue the girl, obviously, they run out, and like I said, they die. So I just...
Which is all very epic deaths. Very
epic deaths, and we're going to talk about those, but I have a problem with the fact that they died at all. They could have totally avoided it. Like, okay, they have... Their plans were so flawed. Obviously, they just march in, no reloading, no getting anything except an eye patch for Rey or anything. They just barge in. No plan, nothing. They're obviously completely outnumbered. They don't even get any backup. Dr. Death Defying doesn't even come until the very, very end.
Which makes me wonder how he knew.
Yeah, well, were they watching them or what? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, like, how is it that they're so stupid, I guess.
I don't know.
They just ran in there.
Part of me wonders if they knew going in that this was going to be a suicide mission.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They probably did. So why didn't they go, you know, make some adjustments and, you know, get some other Killjoys? Surely they're not the only four out there that they're in contact with.
You are reckless.
It's like there was something every time I was thinking about this when I was watching it on the TV. The way that they edit it with Jared hugging the girl, and then he has this expression on his face, and then it cuts to course, and it cuts back to the expression he has on his face. It's almost like, okay, we have what we came for, and like it's almost as if he sort of, the way that the editing is done makes it look like he seems to know that
now it's time to die.
Well, now he's ready to face death if it's going to come. And he knows if he's going to die, it's going to be at Course's hand.
Yeah.
There's a trope for it. It's called, I think there's a TV, there's a trope, something about the only one who can defeat you kind of thing. And it's, you know, it really does seem like Kors and Gerard are the only ones who can defeat each other. I mean, Kors and Party Poison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Seem to be the only ones who can each defeat the other.
Highlander, you're immortal.
Well, if you notice, Cobra Kid, like, when he goes to shoot, he only hits him in the leg. He doesn't kill Kors. He just injures him.
Yeah, and then Cobra, he gets shot too and dies.
Yeah.
And then Frank has a really epic death too. I mean, he's like, he takes Ray and the girl, and then Ray and the girl go out, and he's like shutting the door and trying to hold them off for as much as he can.
Save yourself and I'll hold them back.
Yeah, I think another really cool shot in the video was the girl, like, in the crossfire, covering her ears and, like, shouting.
She's, like, totally traumatized.
It seems like she has plot armor. Because she was in this crossfire and didn't get hit once. Yeah.
You can imagine, I mean, Better Living Industries, their whole goal in the Na-Na-Na video was getting her, and I guess killing her would defeat whatever purpose they have.
True.
Well, this is reminding me somehow of, well, look, and this whole record seems to me, and I actually wrote a blog post about this, like, the whole fact about trying to preserve the kid that's inside you as you grow up, you know, because a lot of people lose that kid, and the freedom of being a kid and the dreams.
So, as the Killjoys die, and this is something I actually noticed from the trailer, and I thought, wait a minute, why doesn't the single, maybe just the single version doesn't have this portion from the song. But no, the album version as well, at least the one that was transmitted on the YouTube, which I can assume is the album version, no reason not to play the album version, doesn't have this bridge where just the instrumentation cuts out. It's just the choral voices, and then it builds as Gerard's getting shot up the face and whatnot. All the rest of that is going on.
I don't mean to laugh. It's amazing.
It sounded funny.
Yeah. I really like that edit, actually. I think it's a nice little moment of production in the album, but it's not in the album.
I know. That's what I was going to say. I really like the video edit because it's just like, it's all this, like, you hear this constant music building up, and then all of a sudden it just drops. And then it's
very
scary.
Not scary. It's
like you're
haunting.
Suspended. It's like, it's like, you know when you go, like, I've never been skydiving, but, you know, like, you're on the plane, and then you finally are just, like, you throw yourself out there, and then you're just, like, flying, and then all of a sudden...
My dad was... finish first.
No, I was going to say, like, you know, like, first of all, you're skydiving, and I guess the song is, like, you're skydiving, and then all of a sudden you, like, pull the parachute, and then you're just, like, flying, you know, like suspended. So.
Yeah, my dad was 82nd Airborne in the military, and he would jump out of planes, and he would describe it the same way that when you're in the air, like, when you jump, everything is quiet, and it's, you know, there's no sound, and then all of a sudden... Like, the minute you land, all of the sound just comes rushing back at once. And,
it's kind of like Sing, So, it's like they're, like, it's like Gerard said many times, he said, like, at the beginning of the record, it's like you're on a roller coaster, and then he's holding your hand, and all of a sudden he lets go and just lets you experience it, you know?
Yeah. And I can almost see why, because... I guess when you said it, that moment in the album, it might be at risk of feeling out of place. It might be a little dramatic in the context, you know, because that's only like the fourth song on the record, including Mikey, who we've already seen die in a music video.
he always dies.
I know, poor Mikey.
The Ghost of You death was very dramatic.
The Ghost of You death, as an older sister, made me sad for many, many.
And besides,
for
I mean,
a good
that,
while.
It's all the emotion in the video was just, and Gerard seeing him die was just, oh my god.
The only thing about Mikey and Ray dying, and you know, this is a high concept album, so I guess I can't complain too much about this, but they die in the album. I mean, we know that in the traffic report, they get dusted on.
But see, here's the situation. Here's why I'm like, I don't know if you saw the post where I tried to make some sense of the timeline and suggesting that the videos were showing past events instead of future ones.
So possibly if they were still living after this.
That, like, the idea that the music videos are reconstructions of things that happened in the past. Uh-huh. Where, while the Twitter accounts are set more in the present time. Well, as present as, you know what I mean? Like, happening
in
real time. And,
album is like future time, perhaps?
Sort of, but I'm just so confused. Like, I'm confused now.
Okay, so Course.
They have a close up of his Better Living badge in one part.
Yeah, that was cool. This is why I need screen caps, because I want to do a nearly scene by scene breakdown. And one of the things I noticed was the close up of the badge.
Uh-huh.
And to see the details on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like about to talk. I was stopping, and I think I'm gonna watch it again and take screenshots of the video, like I did for Nana.
Right.
So.
Yeah. The biggest thing we learned about Course in this was he basically acted kind of like the initial impression, and I only say initial impression because Chris has got a theory. To submit after, but basically that he was like a robot, because the Asian lady comes out, hits a button, and you see he's like waking up from stasis, and we see various shots before of him just kind of standing there. It's very creepy. Almost, dare I say, Darth Vader-esque. I think we had gotten the impression that Course, like, truly hated the Killjoys, like, personally, on a personal level, and especially Party Poison, and I just thought, well, how can he if he's a robot? The theory you have may contradict that, which is fine, but I just thought I'd throw that in there. And so, on the other hand, where does Course come from, and how did he, you know, he's humanoid, so if he's not like a robot with a human shell, then how did he get that way? Thus, Chris, your...
Well, it actually stems from some theories that I've been getting on the Tumblr, which are one of the readers submitted something about the sleeping pods, which are it's in the mission statement of the Better Living website.
Yeah, I was reading that just now.
Where they mention, and I'm trying to find it now. It's like something about, you know, going on. Oh, here it is. Yeah, like. Take a trip through time and space, all while never leaving the comfort of your BLI sleep pod. And so the idea that maybe Course is just sleeping in one of these pods. It's very Dollhouse. For those of you who don't know, haven't seen the series, the dolls, who are real people who are able to be programmed with different personalities and skills and stuff when they're not active. At night, they sleep in these pod-like things, and their sleep is regulated with certain gases, with a blend of gases or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe... the idea is that when the Asian lady pushes the button, she shuts off the whatever gas might be keeping him asleep, and he snaps awake. And because we don't see her with the remote after that, like, we don't see her, like, controlling Course with a remote control or something.
You know, the whole thing about experiencing traveling in space without leaving the comfort of your sleeping pod. That reminded me of WALL-E for some reason. Have you guys seen that movie?
Yeah.
Of course.
Okay, you know, they have, like, all these people just, like, going around in these chairs and, like, having, like, the screen right in front of their face?
Yeah.
it's like, again, the better living people, they're trying to make people experience things artificially. So, and I see, again, like you guys said before, like, you see Course in a different light. Because at first, in the Na-Na-Na video, it just seems like he's some, like, really, like, this guy who's just, like, bent on killing the Killjoys, or, you know, just, like, messing them up.
He might still be bent on killing them. It's just that he's got...
Yeah, but now it seems like he's more...
He's almost an underling.
Yes, exactly. Like
Darth Vader, who turns out to really be kind of an underling.
Okay, is that number six?
No, listen.
I think so.
He is. I mean, you look at, like, a... You know, because he comes in and you're introduced earlier on, and I can do Star Wars all I want because these videos have so much Star Wars in them.
Yeah,
so like, it's still relevant.
Gerard is a Star Wars
so
nerd,
I mean, yeah. Oh yeah, why do you think I love Gerard so much? So,
there's the moment.
Confessions.
So, well, it's like because he's introduced and he's this great big figure, you know, very intimidating, very frightening, and. Later on, you realize that he really is, you know, in Carrie Fisher's bland, false accent about holding Vader's leash, which she loses halfway through the movie, but I'm not going to go into that. Seriously, what is with that? But anyway,
I actually had a good theory about that.
You realize that Darth Vader really is kind of... I'm sorry. You realize that, of course... really is, it seems like kind of an underling, much like Darth Vader. So there's this moment where Gerard rips off one of the Draculoid's masks.
And then he
just kind of stops and looks at it.
We talked about subject today,
like,
on the Tumblr.
That I don't even know what to make of it, quite honestly. Like, is this...
That is a favorite topic currently.
Yeah.
I love that scene especially. Because it's like he rips a mask off and you see the guy's face and then he just like falls on the ground and then Gerard's like there like, oh, what just happened, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it could be something as simple as, you know, he's realizing that these are, you know, these really are people like him or something like that. But me being the analyst that I do tend to be, I like to think that there's some hidden meaning or something.
Okay, I'm sorry, you go first. Go ahead.
No, you go.
Well, the popular theory currently, I got a couple of posts about it, is that the guy in the Draculoid mask is Agent Cherry Cola, who we haven't seen in a good number of weeks since BLI took that over. And so people are thinking, well, maybe this is Agent Cherry Cola, or AKA, who's been turned into Gary Levko now. And
yeah.
But that screws with the timeline and whatnot. So I don't know. It might be Agent Cherry.
It kind of reminds me of something else that messes with the timeline. It's a little thing called Star Wars. No, I'm kidding.
Best guess, it might be Agent Cherry Cola, but we don't know for sure.
I just hope we see. I mean, I would feel horror. It would be really annoying if they just left that open. Like, I don't know that there were things necessarily left open from the Na-Na-Na video. There were things that weren't necessarily explained that have potential to be explained later, like more about Course and whatnot.
Yeah. BLI mentioned something about the soul protection plan in the mission statement.
Mm-hmm.
Something about you trust, like, it's the phrase is... you trust us with every aspect of your lives. Why not your afterlife? Let BLI be your God. Sign up now to secure your place at the right-hand side of the future. It seems like... I don't know if maybe they have figured out how to... first of all, it seems really odd that they would have something called a soul protection plan. When they seem like, it seems like a future where things like the human soul would...
are irrelevant. They're trying to...
It seems very odd when you contrast it with the way that they're suppressing...
They're essentially roboticizing human beings, and protecting souls completely contradicts that.
Exactly. And then I start thinking about it. And I was looking at some of the theories that other people had posted. And brought up this idea of... maybe that they're able to, you know, digitize the human brain scan, upload personalities into disks or, you know, servers or something. And it, again, dollhouse. See, here we go. I'll balance out his Star Wars references with Dollhouse references.
That's fair.
Well, in Dollhouse, they are able to scan the brains of clients and back them up. There's actually an episode where a woman is killed, and in her will, she leaves, like, a woman is killed, and her backup is uploaded into the body of one of the dolls, and she is then able to solve her own murder. It's really crazy. You have to see the episode. I'll find it and I'll upload it on the blog, because it's very curious.
I just want to address this real quick. The thing that everyone is saying is that, oh, this is like Empire Strikes Back, where it ends on a dark note. Okay, listen, people. I have been, I'm like a theater dude. Not really, but sort of. I know it well enough to know that a lot of second acts end that way. That's just how you construct a story. And you see it in movies all the time. It's like that low point where, you know, your hero is at his worst and he, you know, what have you. That's just how it works. It's not exclusive to Empire Strikes Back. I know society teaches you all to be retarded and not to recognize the finer things in life, but that's just a little education for you people. Yes, I love Empire Strikes Back. I adore it. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to give credit where credit is due. You know, just so that I can get extra points for my movie. So I just had to get that off my chest, because like MTV was doing that, some others were, and that just irritated me. And yes,
it's the most obvious in pop culture, and so one guy latches onto it, and everybody else is like, oh yeah, it's exactly like that. And
we pretty much already talked about this. Just looking forward to the next video. You know, is this really how every, you know, are the Killjoys really dead? How are they gonna, you know, get out of this? What's the girl gonna do now? Who's the blonde? Etc., etc.
Yeah, I heard somewhere that it was, I still don't have confirmation, but I heard it was Grant Morrison's wife.
I don't know that I mentioned this directly, but it made me wonder if how the Killjoys went out may have been kind of like how Course started out, if he's in status or if he's some kind of robot or something like that. In which case, I think it would be really fascinating to see the Killjoys in kind of a compromised position almost, or somehow influenced by Better Living Industries. I know that's not terribly likely, but I love throwing stuff like that out there. Anyway, so that if it happens, I called it.
It would be interesting if the first part of the video, they were sort of, I don't want to use brainwashed, but
essentially brainwashed, though.
If only to see Show Pony and Dr. Death Defying burst in like badasses and save the day.
Right after shopping, so they've, of course, got like their Walmart bags strapped to their hips and stuff.
Right after jacket shopping.
Yeah.
So I want more Dr. Death Defying in my music videos.
Last thing I have here is, at around 1:05, you see a Drac kind of look at a computer screen that's really distorted, so you can't really see it. But when I paused it, it looked a lot like the Danger Days cover.
I did not notice that.
Like, it looked obscenely like the Danger Days cover. Like if it is not, I will be surprised. It's around 1:05. So, the video. Good video. Check it out. Nice discussion. Lots of fun. Abrupt. Not subtle. The video was subtle. Has nothing to do with it. No, I was talking about my sign off there. The video itself, yeah, the video is actually really good. Honestly, I think I'm going to wait until the third part to really summarize what I think of these videos in light of the other videos. Like, a couple of my other favorites are Ghost of You and obviously Welcome to the Black Parade. So we'll see about that. And I'm also excited about whatever this next video is going to be, whether it be Bulletproof Heart or what have you, that's been rumored as a single, especially since we already have artwork for that, and have had artwork for quite a long time, actually. Mm-hmm. Not sure if it is valid anymore, since it's pretty similar to Na Na Na, and we know that they changed the single and whatnot, but, you know, leave your options open. So whatever that is, I'm sure it'll be great, be a lot of fun. Yes, so thanks very much, everyone, for listening, especially all of those new listeners that jumped on board. Thanks to this fantastic blog. What's the URL?
It is girlautomatic.tumblr.com.
And you should go there for all of your Danger Days needs.
Yes, it is the Dangerous Encyclopedia, basically.
Yeah, I've been reading it for like a couple of months now. So
it's only been 2 months since this whole thing started.
Okay, well, there you go. So
it does feel a lot longer. It feels like it's been years.
It really does.
Yeah, ever since they like did this whole Dangerous thing, it seems like forever. I don't know why. Definitely check out blog, because it has everything you would ever need to know about the Killjoys and the Dangerous, and it's really cool to read. So yeah, if you haven't hit over there already, do it now.
Do it or you'll get ghosted by course. What? Was that a cliche? Sorry.
We'll fry your brains.
We,
yes.
We have a good time over there.
I did Star Wars references, so I thought I might as well do a reference to the actual video.
That might be good, yes.
So, anyway, alright, so, new stuff, everybody. I know I said last episode I was going to go to a Danger Days release. Well, I was misinformed by Hot Topic. It's not actually happening, so I'm afraid that's not going to happen. It would have been a blast. I regret that it happened, or that it didn't happen, whatever, but that's how the cookie crumbles. Obviously, I'm going to be doing a review for the album, so look, yeah. I might, you know, I'm thinking of really reconstructing the way that the reviews work in terms of just discussion and whatnot, especially if I'm able to get more people on here. The linear, you know, talk about a song, give it a rating, move on, is thorough but not a lot of fun, and no one wants to hear that. So, suggestions are welcome. We do have an email, which is noteworthycriticalpodcast@gmail.com. There's no A. Incidentally, I did make an email address that was noteworthyacriticalpodcast@gmail.com, but for some reason Gmail shut that down. We also now have a Twitter, which is @noteworthypc, like podcast. I couldn't do anything longer because of Twitter's length problems. Facebook, Noteworthy A Critical Podcast, we are on there. It's just the only one on there. It's, you know, lucky that it's not a big podcast at the moment, because people don't try and impersonate you like with other shows. I also said we were going to have a website. Right now that's kind of on hold. We'll see where that goes. Send your questions, comments, feedback, and what have you. Review on iTunes. I love iTunes reviews. They're a lot of fun to read. I've got, like, one that's legitimate. Any closing remarks? Any secret fantasies that you want to put on the table here?
Well, then they wouldn't be secret.
Yeah, that's true.
Gerard and Frank and Vampire Money.
No.
No, I guess, I don't know. We always joke in the blog that they're watching. I, for one, would like confirmation that they're watching, and if so, what they think of all the hard work that we're putting in over there.
We're almost working harder than they are.
But it's a labor of love, and so
yeah.
If they're watching, I hope they understand that, and yeah.
And you're gonna...
I'm not good at ending things tonight. I should just add the end whenever I finish talking. I'm glad to have them back. It's been... We've missed them. I've missed them a lot. So it's good to see that they're back on the scene.
Yeah, I mean, I just got into them this year, and I was basically about to rip my hair out when they wouldn't, like, update the blog in a month. So I was like, please, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm glad they're back, too. Because, I mean, after all... not to mention the Black Parade again, but, you know, just seeing them, just hearing them say and, like, seeing them be so, like, worn out and everything, it's good to see that now they're having fun and that they're actually doing stuff, like, yeah, really well, you know? I'm glad to see them doing well, you know?
So, for Noteworthy A Critical Podcast, I am Jared Loomis. I will be back sooner than you think.